If you got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12? Book of Hebrews chapter 12. I want to close out my part of this great Southwest Believers Convention here on this statement about ready to say, you know, since the social media has come, we have lost privacy. I mean, you got drones flying over your house. There's Facebook and Twitter. I don't know. I think don't we have 600,000 people on Facebook? I think we have in our ministry or whatever, 2.2 million views. I mean, people just watch you but actually you've never had any privacy at all when it comes to heaven and earth, because there's people watching and listening to what we're doing at all times. And I'm going to prove it right now. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore seeing, notice the word seeing, wherefore seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Notice that. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, let me tell the ministers this. Some of you guys might build a church and you get into financial trouble. Did God author it? Or did you author it? See, God's under no responsibility to finish something he has not authored. Now, you might just want to do something. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But did God author it? Because if he author it, he will finish it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, notice who's enjoying the journey, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to go back to verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The title of this message today is Don't Forget the Clouds. Because, see, there are people watching you or listening that you never thought know anything about you. There's angels all over the planet Earth. And you have entertained them. Every one of us have, not even realizing it, unaware. You'd be surprised who you may be talking to. So I made up my mind. Are you saying that if my mama's in heaven, she can see me? Well, maybe she can, maybe she can't. But I know something. There's a great crowd of witnesses that went before us, and they want to know what we're doing. And now, I personally believe this. I'm going to tell you this. You don't want to believe it. You don't have to believe it. But when my mother went home to be with the Lord in 1982, at Easter, she went home to be with the Lord about 8 o'clock in the morning on Easter Sunday. And my father asked me if I would preach her funeral. And I said, "But Daddy, I'm not made out of iron. I mean, I was the preacher of the family. Let me just say, oh man, your mama would love that and all that kind of stuff." Well, that's easy for you to say, because you don't have to do that. You only got one mama in your life. You understand what I'm saying? So I did, and I was just really struggling. I thought, my God, what am I going to say, and how am I going to do this? And you know, everybody in the family waiting for you to break down. Everybody looking for somebody just to break down. that kind of stuff. And I thought, my God, man, what am I going to do? And the presence came in that room. And it was the Lord. I knew it. I felt it. But it was my mama, too. Now, did you see? No, I didn't see. But I know my mama's voice. My mama right now, if she'd holler in the back there, Jesse, I know that voice. Because she's been behind me with that voice many times. With a broomstick switch. Skid. And my mother was a soldier, boy. I mean, she was tough as a nail for a woman. So I preached old soldiers don't die. They just fade away. General Douglas MacArthur's, speech to the Congress. Cause she was an old soldier. She just faded away from this life. And she said, "You'll do a good job. You can do it." I heard that with my ears. And I heard the Lord said, "Yeah, I've chosen you. I've made your daddy." And I did. 47 people got born again at my mother's funeral. I didn't have a chance to give an altar call. And my mother always wanted flowers. She said, Because my dad was not into giving flowers. My dad gave my mama a set of roses one time in her life, and they were plastic. That's true, because they don't wear out. My dad didn't have a lot of sense. 12 plastic roses. I can't get over that. And the funeral parlor asked if we could use our ministry vans just to carry the flowers, because they were everywhere. Now, I know Mom, I believe the Lord let Mama see that, because she always loved flowers. It was just a great day. And I preached that sermon, and I don't know why humor follows me. Mama had the biggest funeral in this funeral parlor. They had several other funerals going on at the same time, or wakes. Let me say that, not the funeral, but the actual wake. We had the main chapel and all that kind of stuff because of the amount of people. Well, to make a long story short, the microphone went out. Now, I'm standing like this, but you couldn't see the funeral director. He was on his hands and knees. And I look like that, and there's flowers everywhere, you know, because my mother's coffin was like right here. Flowers and all that kind of. So he just told me to do this. So I backed up like that, and he crawled on his hands and knees and stuck his hand in that kind of look, pulpit looking thing, whatever they use. And you heard. He goes. But what he did was hook me up into three other wakes. True story. Hook me up in three other wakes that are going on in this massive funeral home place. Not only am I preaching my mama, now I'm preaching for two guys and one woman. I didn't even know who they were. So people sitting in the wake, all of a sudden they hear me talking. Old soldiers don't die. And them people literally got up and walked out of their own wakes and came over to where my mama was. My brother was leaning up against the back wall. This man said, I don't know who he is, but I want him when I die. And all of a sudden, I felt the most strange. No, it wasn't by no accident. Ask people that want to get saved. I said, if you want to meet Jesus, I didn't have a chance to say. And 47 people lifted their hands up. So we got people saved at Mama's funeral. It was amazing. I mean, even the dead follows me. It was a wonderful time. But you know what? I really believe. Now, you can't prove it's true and I can't prove it's not. So I'll just say it. I really believe the Lord allowed Mama to see that. Because she wanted flowers, man. She wanted to see that. See, it was such a blessing. Wherefore we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what does that mean? Me and you that are now living in the flesh, write this down. We are called to be trustees of God's final word to mankind in Christ Jesus. See, we are now living physically. We are God's trustees of his final word to mankind in Christ Jesus. This is the age of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. The prophecies that have almost all of them, they ain't very many. You probably, they may not be seven prophecies left to come to pass. We're living in the age of Jesus Christ, and God has entrusted us as trustees of his final words. Now, people say, well, don't forget the clouds. And not only do I have people watching me that are alive, but I know heaven wants to know what's going on here. They're interested. They're not dead. You see what I'm trying to say? There's an economy going on up there. That's about the best word I could use. There's something happening. You see, so if we're called to be trustees of God's final word to mankind in Christ Jesus, then the greatest essential of our faith and life is sincerity. So I sincerely believe the word of God. I'm sincere about the word of God. I'm not embarrassed about the word of God, because I wasn't embarrassed about sin when I was a sinner. If I wanted to smoke dope, and I didn't care if I'd go to jail, I'd smoke a joint in a second. And I used to make big joints. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Before I was saved, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I smoked a little dope a week. I snorted cocaine, PCP, crystal meth, when crystal meth wasn't even known what it was. We just make it. took trips and never left the house. Ooh, just come on back. The miracle of God, I live. My own doctor said I won't live to 24 years old because of cirrhosis of the liver. Some of you have heard me say that. But you see, when I got born again, old things passed away. I became sincere about the gospel. Why? Not only so that you can see Christ in me, but that those that have gone on before me, that great cloud, don't forget the clouds. Because you see, they paid a price that I am not going to degrade. I've refused to stomp the blood of Jesus Christ in the ground. Some of these great men and women that have died for this great cause to mankind. Some died preaching Jesus Christ on foreign fields. You don't think they know what's going on? I really believe they do. So we're called to be trustees. The greatest essential of our faith in life is sincerity. See, we are not beginning things. We're only carrying them on. See, what I'm doing today is just carrying on Apostle Paul's ministry. We're not just beginning things. We are carrying things on. Every day, every time you preach a message, you're carrying on the person that wrote that epistle. That ministry. Let me say it again. We're not beginning things, only carrying them on. We as believers are bringing in the final age of mankind. We're living in the age of Jesus Christ. I would be totally shocked if Jesus did not come in my lifetime. Now, if you don't come get me, I'll go get him. Either way, I'm going. That's not the issue. I ain't afraid to die. I had a man ask me one time, aren't you afraid to die? No, I've never died. Kind of dumb to be. That's stupid to be afraid of something you ain't never done. I cross that bridge when I get there. But there's a generation that won't see death. Amen. How many of y'all believe it's you? Yes. Yeah. Why can't it be? The reason why I don't want to die, I'd like to go in the rapture. Some people don't believe in the rapture. Stay here. Yep. But I want to go for that ride. I want to do that. You see, I'll be at 39,000 feet in about an hour and a half from now, flying back to New Orleans. I've been 62,000 feet before. I mean, I've been up there. I've flown the Concorde. I'm talking Mach 2 with your hair on fire. Me and a poodle. $10,000 a seat. And the lady was going shopping in London and she brought her two dogs with her. $10,000 a piece for the dog. The dog didn't go in the bottom of the, on the seat. That's when they had the Concorde. I'll never forget that. I said, man, what are you doing? I'm going to Harris. I'm going to shop today. And I'm going to take the Concorde back tonight. I looked at the dogs and they were just us two. Poodles. They got some rich dogs in the world. You understand what I'm saying? Rich dogs. I'll never forget that long as I ever lived. And they start feeding the people. And they went to put the food on the floor. She said, no, put the tray down. And them dogs, $10,000 a seat now, they each got, them dogs stuck their two paws up on the tray and ate their food like everybody else. Ain't nobody said nothing. And the dogs didn't seem to mind at all. Who let the dog go? Who? You know what I'm saying? Hey, come on. Lord, God. I seen that with my own physical eyes. That lady loved her dogs. She was sincere about them. She believed in them enough to pay $20,000 to go with her. She trusted them dogs, and them dogs trusted her. It was amazing to see something when you've traveled with very, 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 what I call a super rich. I ain't talking about somebody that got a little money. I'm talking about a super rich. Super. Getting past the 100 million mark. You know, getting to the billion flow. Super rich. And you know they're the sweetest people you ever want to meet in your life. It's the ones that think they got a little money that's mean as a snake. I know several billionaires. They're the nicest people you ever seen in your life. How you doing, Reverend? Man, I sure like your house. Oh, man. What you flying today? I get around somebody ain't got much money. I don't think you ought to have that plane. How much did that plane cost? They never asked that. Is there anything we can do for you, Reverend? I said, not a thing. Not a thing. They like me for that. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Why are you saying that? I'm a trustee. The only Jesus they may ever see is the Jesus in me. Don't forget the clouds. Because not only am I being a witness to these that are alive, but I'm being a witness to those that have gone on before me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The eyes of multitudes are upon every one of us, past and present. I'm telling you. Well, no, they can't know. Well, Moses and Elijah knew where to go. They showed up at Mount Transfiguration. You don't think they saw Jesus climbing that mountain? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. There's some stuff out there that you will never know. It's amazing what God will do. And he don't tell us everything. You just experience that as a trustee of God's word. That's why I refuse to make an excuse for the blessing of God in my life, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. Some people get mad at me. I'll even name figures. And I'm not showing off. I could care less about that. I don't mean that. I'm just giving God glory. You see, I don't know why people can't understand the glory of God on the financial side. I mean, you've heard me say this before. Somebody got up here tonight and said, you know, I was the biggest sinner Fort Worth ever seen, but I gave my life to Jesus last night. Y'all shout, screaming, holla, glory to God, look at that. Somebody walk up there and say, you know, I had that pancreatic cancer y'all talking about, but I went there and got checked out. There's no cancer cell in my body. Screaming, glory to God, by his stripes you're healed. Somebody get up here and say, I'll tell you one thing, Lord. I gave an offering Monday night, and my Lord, I made $37 million later. I am so filthy rich, don't know do it myself. Some of y'all say, I wonder why you got to say that. He ought not be saying it like that. They ain't right. They ain't talk like that. Am I telling the truth? Well, if you can give God glory for salvation, give God glory for healing, why can't you give God glory for the blessing of finance? It's the same God. It's not bragging. It's giving God glory. You see, and those that have gone before see it too. I wonder how many that they know something say, you know, we should have believed that. Maybe we wouldn't have had it as hard as we did. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know how many preachers told me I would suffer, suffer. You're going to suffer, 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 suffer. I didn't. That doesn't mean I didn't have hard times. But that's not suffering hard times. I just knew God would. And it wasn't hard to believe that. Why? Because I don't complicate my faith. I learned it from children. They don't complicate faith. You tell them something, they believe it. You tell your children, I'm taking you to Disney World. Wow! Out the door, down the street, telling everybody, we're going to Disney World. Y'all want to come with us? I don't care how much it costs. They don't care how much the tickets are. Don't care about any of that. See, they don't complicate it. We're not God's adults, ladies and gentlemen. We're God's children. Don't complicate. Just believe. I mean, when I tell Kathy to go shopping, and when she tells me she's going shopping, I don't complicate. Are you sure? No, I know she says, I'm going to do this. Ain't no telling what she's going to come back with. It's just okay with me. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care. I don't mean it pridefully. I mean, we don't complicate it. So I refuse to complicate it because, see, I hadn't forgot the clouds. I'm going to be a representative of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be a representative of Moses, and I'm going to be a representative of Elijah, and I'm going to be a representative of Elisha, and I'm going to be a representative, my God, of people, of Kenneth Hagin, who's now in heaven. All these people that are in heaven, why not? Glory to God. And R.W. Shambach, won't somebody run around this tent, somebody. I did like R.W. You know how I met him? He gave me a compliment on KJAN, first radio station ever went on in my life. He came on at 8 o'clock. I came on at 8:15. He said, I want to tell you. I want you to listen to me now. There's a little Cajun preacher coming right after me. I don't know him, but I heard him. His name is Jesse Newplanter. And I know the power when I hear it. And I know the anointing when I see it. That when I go off, Jesse, coming on, you listen to it. That one compliment, I ran it to Lafayette Municipal Auditorium. Nobody ever filled up the Lafayette Municipal Auditorium other than R.W. Shambach and Jesse Newplanter. Because he said that. People came and said, I'm coming because R.W. said, you okay. my God. You see, he was a witness. And then we became friends. And that was such a blessing of the Lord. See, the eyes of multitudes are upon us, past and present. Are you a believer? Listen to this. We as believers must stake all faith, all truth, and all hope on his power. You got to stake it. We as believers, my Lord, listen to this, must stake all faith, all truth, and all hope on his power. I just do that. I'm going to get on an aircraft in a few minutes. I can't fly it, but I got pilots that can fly it, but I can buy it. They can't buy it, but they can fly it. I can buy it, and I can't fly it. But if we get together, we can go to New Orleans. Amen. So I stake my life today. Me and Kathy, we will stake our life in the training that I have paid for and put on those pilots. They're going to take us out there. We're going to be flying about 585, 590, maybe 600 miles an hour. It don't take long to get to New Orleans when you're flying like that. And we're going to sit down and have something to drink. And they're going to fly that plane. Why? Because I stake my life on them. Now, they're staking their whole financial life on me that I will pay for them. And I will pay them. They have no, they don't know the finances of Jesse the Planner's ministries. This girl here works for me. Hold your hand up, sweetheart. She works in my partner services. And have I ever been late with your check? No. Never been late ever, even doing Hurricane Katrina. Fact, they shut down everybody. They wasn't letting everybody get into New Orleans. I sent my finance director. I said, I got to get to them checks. I got to pay my people. And they said, you can't go on there. And my finance director, her name was Tammy Moonan. She said, listen to me, policeman. I got to go get some money to pay for people. Y'all got some money? Yeah. She said, let her through. Let her go. She got some money. Paid our people. They were in four different states. It was an amazing thing. Now, we became a witness to a lot of ministries in New Orleans were calling our ministry. The employees of other ministries said, did y'all get paid? Yeah, Brother Jesse paid us the next day. We ain't got paid in 6 weeks. See, some of those ministries forgot the clouds. Fritz has been with me, what, 31 years? Have I ever been late on your check? Not one time. Not bragging on that. We're giving God glory. Why? Because God always filled up the accounts. Why? Because he said he would supply all. I'm a witness to that. And so are many others. So we as believers must stake all faith, all truth, and all hope on his power. You see, we should have a large mind, a strong conviction, and a firm will. See, small minds, I'm going to say something, small people will never understand great people. Not that the great people is better. No. It's just that if God puts you around somebody smarter than you, shut up. And listen. And listen. You'll learn something. You know, I without sounding proper, I know a little bit about finance, okay? But I was raised very poor. You know what I did when I was 14 years old? I found the richest man in my town. His name was Madison Funderburk, M.L. Funderburk. Oh, Lord. He owned two banks in town and everything else. He owned property. And I was a soda jerk. Anybody know what a soda jerk is? In those days, every drugstore had a soda fountain. You know, you'd go get your prescription or whatever, and you might get a malt or, you know, soda, or cherry Coke. This is when sugar was wonderful for you. Yeah, you can eat anything you want, drink anything you want. It was a great day. And he would come in, and we served ice cream there. It was some great ice cream. Ice cream was 10 cents a scoop. Okay? It was a nickel, and it went up to 10 cents. Y'all remember when a Coke went to 6 cents? I liked to have a fit. I said, we got to quit drinking Coke. Well, I'm going to get another penny. I ain't got another penny. Mr. Funderburk coming in. I said, Mr. Funderburk, you the richest man in town. He looked at me, and he said, yes, I am. I said, I want to take you to lunch. He looked at me and said, you want to take me to lunch? Because he liked black walnut ice cream. Jerry Savelle likes it too. We found a place where they serve that stuff. You don't hardly ever see that anymore. He said, you want to take me to lunch? He said, well, where you want to take me to lunch at? I said, I'll take you to Savoy's, which was the best restaurant. Savoy's? You have enough money for that? I said, yes, sir. I said, let's go the whole course. He said, what are we going to talk about? I said, you're going to tell me how to get rich. He looked at me, he said, little man, I'm going to take that. When do you want to go? I said, tomorrow. I showed up. I ate as slow as I could eat. I wanted to hear everything he said. And I sat there. And he began to talk. And I listened. I said, go and get a steak. Because I knew it took a little time to get a steak. He said, I went to Gauntlet, man. Dessert, everything. When I finished, I still use those financial principles today. Why? I wanted to go somewhere. I had to witness something. My Lord. And you know, he knew a lot about me. Of course, he's passed away now. This is many, many years ago. But I mean, when I began to get blessed, he'd say, man. And I'd say, how'd you know to do that? I said, well, you know, at that luncheon. What luncheon? I took an M.L. Funderburg. You didn't take out medicine. Yes, I did. And it was a wonderful thing. See? Why? Because he was a witness to me. Then I had to witness to him. Because he lived a lot longer than that. Actually, where the drugstore was right across the street from the courthouse. So a lot of lawyers and people that would come across and get their shoes shined. There was a shoe shine place there. You ever heard popping a rag? You get a guy like a flat shine. Well, I mean, you could see yourself in the mirror. Lord, it was something. It was another day in time. It really was. It was great. It really was. Boy, these lawyers getting together. And I'd serve them ice cream and stuff like that. And boy, and I'd hear them argue about all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to listen to that. They said, you listen? I said, I remember. I said, I don't just listen. I remember. I said, because one day I'm going to get a suit like you got. I didn't have a suit like that. I said, one day I'm going to get a suit like that. And I said, it's going to take work. That's one thing I can do is work. You see what I'm saying? They were witnesses to me. Well, after I came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, even till today, Abraham is a witness to me. I am the seed of Abraham. I'm related to the man. Y'all should have shouted there. So are you. I'm physically related to him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse. I'm in the lineage. And they left such a wonderful track record. But they're not dead. They want to make sure that we do right with what they left us with. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Don't forget the clouds. We should have a large mind. Listen to me. Wake up here. A strong conviction, a firm will. We must be a witness to others that our confidence in God must never be misplaced. My confidence in God must never be misplaced. I've said this many times. Oh, some of y'all going to get mad when I say that. I have a hard time sinning. I just got to get in the flesh. I got to make myself. But if I crucify my flesh daily instead of Sunday, I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? The craziest thing I've seen in my life. I know my girls, I can be their daddy or granddaddy. You heard me say it before. They think I got money. They right. But that ain't my money. That's Kathy money. And she ain't giving it to no hussy. You've heard me say that. I don't know what a hussy is, but I know Kathy don't like hussies. She ain't much on the hussy. I've walked with Kathy. She said, close your eyes. I said, what? There's a hussy over there. I want to. Well, most of them are a little greasy, but they're cute. Little hussy. That's a hussy over there. Close your eyes. Okay. Okay. And then your mind gets to thinking, what she look like? What she look like? You don't even know what she look like. No, I don't know. See, we must be a witness to others that our confidence in God must never be misplaced. I can't misplace that. I don't want to hurt you. Some of you like me, and if you found out I committed adultery, that would hurt you. I'm not going to do that. Uh-uh. No. You see what I'm saying? It's a craziness. Years ago, that's why I'm so glad I got my own plane. I've been flying now my own plane since 1994. But when I used to get on planes, man, it's amazing. I mean, people would do. I mean, it's an immoral world. Immoral. I mean, I've sat on planes on Delta Airlines and women grab my leg. And I tell them that Holy Ghost in that leg. They turn loose that leg. I said, without sounding crude, I've had women stick their breasts in my face. You're trying to get up and they just, you know it. And I thought to them, I said, look at this. The devil said, what you think about that? I ain't thinking about that. I'm trying to breathe. Look at Kathy. I have had that happen. And that devil's trying to work on you. I've had some people say, where you going? That's the dumbest question to ask a person. They're sitting with you on the same plane. Where you going? The same place you go, fool. You're on the same plane. That's a stupid question. One of the funniest things I think I ever said at a believer's convention, I got on Southwest Airlines. I think it was, because they got them seats, you know, that facing like that. Boy, this lady come in there, short dress, super short, very buxom, is that the right word? And no sun could hit her feet. You got the revelation there, didn't you? Her feet would never get sunburned. Or her heels. So, y'all got it. I know you got it. I'm reading the USA Today. I have to tell you this. I've said it many times. It's so funny, man. So all of a sudden, I see there's three guys next to them. They go, "Whoa, Lord, look at this. Whoa, Lord, look at this mama." And I just kind of looked like that. But I had my eye. I was reading this article. I wanted to finish it. And this lady comes up to me, sticks her knees, and boom, bumps my legs. I look up, and she goes, "Hello." I said, "Hello." And the guys go, "Oh, oh." You know, men's so stupid, you know. "Oh." She said, "Where you going?" Stupid question. I said, "That's the same place you are." She said, "Well, if you have time, I have time." Man, people don't care. These three guys, "Oh, man." Boy, I mean, if you're black, you get your lean going, baby. You know what I'm talking about, man. Get the lean going, son. And I mean, she pinned me. Because these three guys are just freaking out, man. They just love all this. I said, "You want to mess with me, devil?" I said, "Man, would you please back up?" I'm like this, you know. Would you please back up a little bit? So she backed up, and I just got up. Plane's full. And I smiled at her. And then three guys going, "Here." I just pointed my finger at her. I went, "Whore of Babylon! Whore of Babylon!" She goes, "Ha!" and took off to the back. And those three men said, "Where's Babylon?" "Yeah, Babylon. We going to Babylon." I sat down, took my USA Today, and finished my article. That devil didn't mess with me no more on that thing. If you don't embarrass sin, sin will embarrass you. We got the cloud up here. We have to stand in honor. Be respectful in honor. And live the life Christ wants us to live. And a woman's not a sexual object to be conquered. See, that's been put all over the world for millenniums. And it's wrong. That's what I mean. We must be a witness to others that our confidence in God must never be misplaced. I can't help myself. You know, David fell. Wait, David ain't your example. Jesus is your example. David ain't your example. Moses ain't your example. Even though they left a good track record, but they got some dirt back there. But Jesus ain't got no dirt. You understand what I'm saying? You want to follow somebody? Want to be like somebody? Be like Jesus. Not Kardashians. Oh. I'm not against no Kardashian. But why would you want to be known for your rear end all over the world? That's the craziest thing. Because it's going to fall down. I mark my word, baby, it's going to fall down. I don't care how pretty you are. Let me tell you, young people, take pictures. Because it's falling down, baby. They're going down. But so what? That's not who you are.
Amen. Amen.
See, we must maintain great possession because we belong to a race of conquerors and kings. All these great cloud of witnesses are conquerors and kings and priests. We must maintain great self-possession because we belong to a race of conquerors and kings. We must not walk as people with measured steps. We don't loiter or linger. I don't walk with measured steps. Once I know what I'm going to do, I'm moving on something. And I don't have the supposed don't work syndrome. Let's just move on this thing. That's what God said. Let's go. What's supposed don't work? What's supposed it does? What you going to do if it don't? What you going to do if it does? I mean, you're going to get all that all the time. Who cares about that? You on a mission, see. Don't forget the cloud. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Let me say it again. We must maintain great self-possession because we belong to a race of conquerors and kings. We must not walk as people with measured steps. No, no. But when I know I'm going to do something, I'm moving on it. We are moved by our interests, by our impulses, and by our aims. See, I know what I'm going to do. And I go do it. Now, it may not, you may be able to do it better, but that's all right. That didn't make any difference. I'm going to do my best. So there's some people's best better than your best, but it's still best. See, as long as you do your best. I always told that to Jody when she was in school. Jody, all I asked you to do is do your best. Now, if the best grade you can get is a C in this subject, that's an A if it's your best. But if you get a C and you can do an A, something wrong here.
That's right.
You're lazy.
That's right.
So you just do your best.
Amen.
And all that God called you to do, because you don't forget the clouds. Because there are things going on that you don't even realize. Right now, we're being bombarded with every kind of radar and stuff. We're being hit like crazy right now as we speak. I have a wireless microphone slapping you in the head. There's no wire to this thing. See, it's right here. There ain't no wire. Yet it's finding that receiver, turning my voice into electronics and pushing it back out through the speakers as my voice. Some of your telephones right now are sending all kinds of stuff all over the world. You see, somebody's listening.
That's right. That's right.
And if you're a Christian, you got all of heaven listening. And I'll tell you what they're listening for. They want to be proud of you. See, so you keep your possession as a conqueror and a king because so many other people went before you saying it could be done. So we must not walk as people with measured steps. We are moved by interests, our interests, impulses, and aims. See, I don't want to become a waterlogged vessel, saturated with inconsistencies. There are a lot of people that are waterlogged vessels. They're saturated with inconsistencies. It may be embarrassing to you if you're towed into a celestial port. You don't need to be towed into a celestial port. You need to drive into that celestial port. You see what I'm saying? You can't tell, there ain't nothing you can't do. Because Jesus said you can do all things. So when people say, well, I tried that, you know, trying don't get nothing done. I'm not going to try to fly today. I am going to fly today. That doesn't mean the devil don't fight. I was in Sacramento. Where's Pastor Bill? There's Bill right there. And now watch this. We flew into Sacramento and planes are really amazing. We had when we opened up the compartment, the baggage compartment, they found, what's it called? It's like oil or whatever. Hydraulic fluid. What is this? We found out that we had a piece about this big that popped. Now, we weren't in danger, but I mean, you know, we couldn't get that part in California. So we, watch this. We found the part. My pilots called my head mechanic, said we got a part out. And it's like, because I had to go to Hawaii the next day. Yeah, so watch this. They said they found it. It's in New Jersey. I said, okay, get the thing, fly it. Now, we call it flying counter to counter. If you know anything about aviation, sometimes if you got to get something, you'll fly it counter to counter. The airlines will do that for you. See, they know what to do. So we found the part. And now, all of a sudden, I'm not going to be able to go and leave at the time I had preached for Pastor Bill that night. I was supposed to leave early that morning. But you see, God didn't break the part, but God designed something. See, that I didn't know was coming up. So I said, can we get this part? It's a piece of stainless steel, only about this big, but it can handle very extreme pressure. Well, anyway, so it was supposed to be there. We were supposed to actually never fly out this time. Well, somebody forgot to put it on the plane. So now we got to wait another 4 hours to get another plane. But that plane wasn't flying direct to California. You know, a lot of times they don't know what direct is. Like you want to go to Florida, so you got to go to Atlanta first. But you live in Birmingham, Alabama. What do you want to go to Atlanta for? Oh, you need to go to Minneapolis, but you're going to Cincinnati first. Or you want to go to Hawaii, you go to Chicago. No, it's the other way. You know what I'm saying? Well, to make a long story short, we got to get this part. Then you got to have the time. And so, was it a weekend, Bill? It was a Thursday or Friday, something like that. Well, they shut down this shop. We need to have the shop to help us. Well, we don't come in until, I don't know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. We're supposed to leave real early. But it worked out perfect because what happened, when the part got there, they were kind of lazy around because they like to waste time because that's money. We're paying them hourly. Well, so we got a chance to go to lunch with Bill and his wonderful wife. And man, we had a wonderful time. It was a blessing of the Lord. It was just, we were just talking about the wonderful things of God, which I really needed myself. It was a blessing of the Lord. Finally, all of a sudden, they found the thing. They put the thing in there and everything. But I got to spend time with Bill and his wonderful wife, and it was a blessing. And normally, I don't do that. I don't have the time. Well, it was great. So we're eating, and as I'm saying things, Bill writing them down. Lord, be the glory to God. Hallelujah. I guess people looking at us like we done lost our mind, man. But we're trading revelations. And it's just such a blessing. Finally, I got on a plane, and, we flew out to Hawaii, I swear, because I had to preach in Hawaii. On a schedule, you just do with that. But watch this. So that was, how much was that? $1,400? $1,000? That thing is expensive. Was it $1,000? I can't, Bill, you remember what it was? Do you remember, sweetheart? Women, no money. $1,000, okay. Watch this. So Bill said, how much that thing cost? I said, I don't know. I don't care what it costs. I don't mean that rudely, but I said, I have to call my pilot. I said, how much did that thing cost? I think it was $1,000, I think it was. It's this long. It's this big. It's a piece of stainless steel tubing. I said, $1,000? $1,000? Yes. I said, well, I had the $1,000, brother. That wasn't the issue. But I thought, good God, man. I need to go in the stainless steel tubing business. If that much is $1,000. Well, you know what? We found it. They sent a check to our ministry and paid for the part. We didn't ask him. I said, no. And he said, no, man. He knew good ground where he was.
Amen.
Now, we were just sitting there talking. I didn't ask. It's just the Lord being the blessing that God is.
Amen.
And I know God's blessed you from that sort of thing. It was amazing. Didn't ask. I had the $1,000, brother. That's not the issue. I know Kathy had it for sure, so I wasn't worried about it. I had the backup on me here. Glory to God, you know. Hallelujah. I mean, if you need a refrigerator, Kathy, take it out of her purse. That's amazing what that woman got in that purse. She'd come up with anything. Lord Jesus, what we got here? She can get that thing fixed. And I thought, man, I said, it was so nice. It's so nice to do that. It's God's aircraft. You see, the witnesses here on earth and the witnesses in heaven witnessed that, Bill. The generosity of a believer. It was a great day. It was a great day. And then, so my pilots told, we wanted the part back. They said the other one was cracked. Let me see if it's cracked. Ship it to me. You know? And because, sometimes you know how people do, And the pilots, they called those people that helped us, and they said not only that we thought $1,000 something, but somebody paid for it in Sacramento. What? You mean somebody just paid for it? Yeah. They couldn't get over that. Well, that just don't happen. I said, well, it happens in Sacramento, California. See, now that became a witness. So we didn't tell them who y'all were. We just said there was a church. I said, tell them the name of the church. Let's give honor to whom honor is due. It was a blessing. So now sinners figure that out. Why, God? Because we had told him the Lord's going to take care of us. Well, he did.
Amen.
In every area. See, we were moved by that. So we're not just waterlogged vessels with a bunch of inconsistencies. That's why me and Jerry, we always like to bless. Jerry took me, let me close with this. Jerry took me to a restaurant in Hawaii named called Buku Te Pepa. Anybody ever heard of that? Buku. Anybody ever heard of Buku Te Pepa? You got to speak in tongues to say it. Buku Te Pepa. It's an Italian place or something. It's like the Godfather. It's like a mob. It's got pizzas. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do they have one here? Do they have one in Fort Worth? Buku Te Pepa. Well, man, we really like that thing, man. I thought, my God, this thing is nice. Well, we went back to Hawaii. I had to do some more preaching. And I'm probably the only man in the world get bored in Hawaii. Lord, I'm there 3 days. Jesus. Kathy says, look at the ocean, Jesse. I said, I seen it. Won't you come out here and lay by the pool? So I start walking down the pool looking for heathens. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I got to do something. It's been 3 days. 3 days. Somebody needs Jesus on this island. So that night we went with Nate and Michelle. They came with us. We brought Nate and Michelle with us. We went to Buku Te Pepa. And so we ordered our food and all that kind of stuff. And to make a long story short, they said, you ought to get the dessert. I'm not a real big dessert eater, but Michelle loves dessert. Because Michelle can be sad. You say dessert. It's like the glory of God come upon the woman. She loves dessert. Which is okay. So they said, you ought to get this, what do they call that thing, a sundae? Looked like. But I didn't realize how big it was. It's this round. It's this high. Got us. It's what now? It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What does that mean, Sunday, Monday? It's that big. I mean, you can eat it for 7 days. It only touched the bottom. It's huge. I'm telling you. I'm not exaggerating. So when we got it, me almost embarrassing. Jesus. I couldn't see. Nate was across from me. The same time. This thing is huge, man. So they all brought us 4 spoons. Now, you can have your own section of it and not touch someone else's section. Now, man, immediately Michelle just dove in there. Wow! And she just started eating that thing. That's Michelle right there. Lord. And she just enjoying that. So Kathy's on that. I'm on the side. I said, there ain't no way we're going to eat all this. Ain't no way. Now, during the time that we were eating, we like calamari. You know who introduced me to calamari? Gloria Copeland. I never eat calamari before in my life. I said, what is that? She said, don't ask. Just eat it. I said, okay. First time we ever ate calamari, Gloria Copeland said, you'll get you like this. So we did. So Nate calls the waiter. He says, come, please. He said, I'd like to know the percentage of the tentacles. I said, what? He said, you know, I like calamari with the tentacles, not just the cut round piece. Is it 40%, 30%, 50%, 70%? The man says, well, how much you want? He said, well, I like 70% of the tentacles. I said, tentacles? So the guy brings us the calamari. Now, evidently, Nate didn't think the percentage was right. So he calls the boy back. He says, look at this. Does that look like 50, 80, 70%? I would say it looks like 22%. I want to say, shut up, Nate. Just eat the calamari, man. This guy ought to go in the back and spit in the food. You understand? You don't make waiters and waitresses, man. I mean, he is nailing this guy to the wall. And then he wanted to change something. And then he's going like this. And the Lord said, bless that man. I said, I'm going to bless that waiter. So anyway, because I thought, Lord Jesus, it's going to take a miracle. And he wasn't trying to make it. Nate wants what he wants, you know, and he eats, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know. So we finally got it. We never got all the percentages right on the calamari. Let me say that. But, you know, we got all the stuff like that. Anyway, so we ordered dessert. He brings this big thing. I mean, they take 2 guys to carry it. I mean, this thing's huge. I said, good God. So we're eating this thing. There's no way. No way. And Michelle can flatly put down some dessert. You understand? Ain't no way you're going to finish this. So there's two girls or three girls sitting at this table across from, and a man. I don't know who they are. I said, man, it's kind of crazy to let all this go. So I pulled the spoons out. I picked the thing up. I walked over to their table. I don't know who they are. I put it on there. I said, y'all want this? Eat. We have no diseases. Did I say it? That man looked like that. There was some girl, she said, I'll eat it. Then he said, a girl said, I'll eat it. Man, they got their spoons and they just eating. They couldn't finish that thing. I said, we have no diseases. So the guy comes, I really appreciate you taking care of us like that. So he gave him the bin. I gave him 20% tip on that. I said, here's an extra $100. The people get excited. Well, the other waiters know what happened. He gave an extra $100 besides 20%. He did. Good Lord, he should have sat at my table. You know, they start talking like that. And all of a sudden, the man forgot about the 30%, 40% that Nate was driving the man crazy over the tentacles, you know. He counting the tentacles. One. Anyway, whatever. Jesus. I want to think we're so great. We got to be some witnesses in here, Nate. Just eat the calamari. You know what I'm saying? Well, them people, they got up and left before us. All of a sudden, another waiter come back. And they said, sir, was it $20? I think it was $20, right? They get $20, $25. I can't remember. I think it's $20, $25. But they gave you this. I said, no, I didn't want no money. I just wanted to let them eat the thing. Well, they just want to do it. I said, a lot of people can't receive, see? So I said, my God, man. I said, I sure would wish I could meet those girls again somewhere, to at least to say thank you. I didn't want the money. So I said, now their waiter, who we did, I said, would you like to have this? Yes. I said, well, let me sow this into your life. Sow? Yeah. I said, yeah, the Lord's blessing you. Here. I said, that's your table, right? You had to clean it off. But yeah. I said, well, this tip belonged. Oh, no, sir, they gave it to you. I said, no. Well, I can do what I want with it. It's mine, isn't it? Yeah. I said, well, I give it to you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Come here anytime you want. Just come. We were supposed to go to the theater after. We walk out, and guess what? There's the two girls or three girls standing. I said, why did y'all give us some money? Oh, you were so kind. Nobody's ever done that. I said, no, we didn't need the money. I said, ma'am, I said, what we did, we actually gave it to your waiter. Is that okay? Oh, yes. Now, the man, we didn't meet the man, but the girls were there. I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. And we went to the theater. Watch this. So, I mean, it all just worked out perfect. That God set us up to be witnesses. What do y'all do? What do you do? I'm a preacher. Yeah. Preacher of the gospel. Really? Yeah. I said, what are y'all doing in Hawaii? And I said, preaching. Where y'all staying? At the Hilton Hawaiian Village. Ooh, that's a nice place. I said, we always stay at nice places. Really? Yes. Y'all seem to be doing good. I said, better than that? Much better than that. We're not doing good. No, we're much better than that. I'm not bragging about that. I'm giving God glory. See, it's the witnesses. They're going to remember that. You see what I'm saying? They're going to remember that. Well, how do you do that? Well, we sow and give our seed. Leroy Thompson, he's a great friend of mine. He loves RVing. He's into that RVing stuff. And, well, he got a nice RV and all that kind of stuff, you know. This guy comes, he said, well, that's a very expensive RV. And Leroy goes, yeah. He said, what business you in? He said, preach it. He said, well, no, where you invest your money? He said, preach it. Where you put your money at? He said, well, I'll give it to the work of the Lord. No. That man's getting mad. No. Where do you invest your money to buy something like that? He said, preach it like gospel, man, giving money to God. See, because all they ever heard is podunk. Preacher ain't got nothing. They can't hardly handle it. It boggles their mind. What do you do? Preach it. Oh. Well, you like him? Uh-huh. You got an RV? No, I got a jet. Huh? A jet, yeah. Where do you invest your money? The gospel. No. Where? Well, what stocks do you have? Well, I said, the gospel. No. I said, the gospel. They can't handle that. So I preached out of Hebrews today, just a few words, and continued the Apostle Paul's messages. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? And when you understand that, the power of God's way, it's amazing what God will do for you. I want you so blessed because it's not a money thing. This is my last closing. Wealth is so easy to get. You can't make it here in America. You ain't gonna make it anywhere else. It's so simple. My God, don't complicate it. That whole thing out there is based on faith and fear. This whole Southwest Believers Convention is dealing with faith in every one of these speakers in one way, shape, or form. The guy that's selling the stock believes it's going down. The guy that's buying the stock believes it's going up. All kind of, it's faith and fear. Fear and faith. Faith and fear. Lord, my Lord. Pray and ask God what he have you do. You don't have to be involved on Wall Street. That's not the issue. It's more important to hear God's voice outside the church instead of inside the church. Because the wealth of the sinner is outside the church. And then when that happens, allow God, if you obey God, God, remind you, live in a nice home, nice car. What do you know? He don't care about that. God don't care what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in. Church world does. I mean, the secular world does. But he don't care. Because on your best day, you can't impress God with your wealth. He's got gold streets. You got asphalt. A concrete. You know, you understand? What happens is when these things come, you're not defined by it. You're defined by the character of Christ in you. Then you're able to be the blessing God wants you to be. And he don't mind. I'll say it. I live in one fabulous house. One man said, can I bring my whole board? It was a preacher. And I very seldom do that. And the Lord said, let him do that. They walked in there and went, my God, why can't we do this? You know where I learned it from? The Bellagio. They went $1 billion over budget building the Bellagio. That's my money. And they paid it off in 1 year just on the slots. That's your money. How long are you going to let them keep it? When are you going to start believing what Brother Copeland and Sister Gloria have been preaching for 30, 40 years? All they want to do is be the, oh God, it's not a money thing. That's just the byproduct. It's what you can do to produce the gospel. So you won't have to walk on concrete no more. You just walk on Gold Street, you go to heaven. Yeah. 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 People are witnessing. So, say what you're going to say. You're watching. Say what you're going to do. Do what you got to do. You can criticize till you blue in the face. I'm going to live this gospel. I'm going to have what this gospel says I can have. And I'm going to do what this gospel said I can do. And I'm like Jerry Savelle. He's El Shaddai. The God that's more than enough. And it's not just so you can live with, I don't care about that. That has nothing to do with me. Because that don't make you happy. There are a lot of people that rich are committing suicide. But what makes you happy is when you're able to be a blessing to a waitress who's been working all day, cooking all day, beating her brains out, trying to make a living, probably a single mom, tough as a nail. She's got some little worthless man to refuse that they take care of his own children. I'm for you, mama. I'm for them mamas, buddy. I ain't kidding you. I'm telling you, it's not easy. So you're able to be a blessing. So people say, he just showing off. They showing off. Just wanting to be a blessing. Did you enjoy it today? Stand to your feet.